we're sharing with you a series of messages on the Ten Commandments. And we've spoken about how these Ten Commandments are what Moses received on Mount Sinai about a month after the Israelites came through the Red Sea and came out of bondage in Egypt. Moses had spent 40 days on the mountaintop. And he returned not only with these Ten Commandments, as we call them, these ten summary statements, but with all the practical ramifications that we read about in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then on into Deuteronomy. You see, all of these laws or all of this material that God gave to Moses, this is the expectation of how God expected his people to live. He expected his people to be holy, to be clean, to be separate from the peoples around them. They were to be nothing like the nations that would live around them where they were going, or nothing like the nation that they had just come out of. God expected his people to be different. And we've shared with you how these are 10 summary statements that were meant to remind them of the content of the entire law. So the Jewish people never saw these as something separate or these Ten Commandments as something special or more important than all the rest. They were just the summary statements of everything else that was in the law that God expected from them. The whole law showed how they were to love God and how they were to love their fellow man and how that should permeate every facet of their lives. God expected it. In fact, God demanded it if they were to be his people that they needed to follow the whole law. That is, his expectations needed to come forth in every area of their lives. And so we come to the New Testament and we see that Jesus summarizes the entire law and the prophets, including these Ten Commandments, in two commandments. When he said that the greatest commandment was this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he says the second commandment is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I know you guys are all pretty smart that as soon as you hear Jesus say those two statements, you wonder, well, I don't see those in the list on the front side of my bulletin. I don't see those commandments listed. But it is a summary. Everything about these Ten Commandments and everything that they summarized was trying to help the people to live out God's expectation to love him with all their heart and to love their others as themselves. This is the intent of the Ten Commandments. Now, the past couple of weeks, we've been in the second half of these 10 summary statements, which are dealing with love toward others. And so we're trying to learn how we deal not just with God, but a relationship with each other. This week, we are looking at number 9, and it's found in Exodus 20:16, where God says, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." Now, if I have to put it into common language that we all understand, is that there should be no lying, that we should not be people who lie. Proverbs 12:22 says this. It says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful." And let us know right there God's expectation that we not be people who lie. Now, yesterday, so I was sitting down talking to someone, and they made this statement. They said, "Well, everybody lies." It just kind of took me back a little bit. Now, that might be true, the people you're hanging around with, that everybody seems to lie, but that is not what God expects of his people. In the Old Testament, we can understand why maybe people were unable to keep the law. You know, God tells them not to lie, not to bear false witness. And we can understand that the law just made them conscious of sin. It didn't give them really the ability to be able to overcome sin. And so this is why right after the giving of the law, this God's expectations for them, we have the ceremonial law. What to do when they broke the law. You know, they were supposed to bring a lamb and slaughter and offer a sacrifice before God. But you know what happens when we get to the New Testament? Jesus becomes our sacrifice. He pays the penalty for our sin. He gives us the power to not sin. He makes it possible for us to keep the demands of God's law. In Christ, we have the power to live out the law to its fullest extent. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, Jesus says this, and we'll come back to this a little bit later, but in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." Jesus' expectation is that we have the integrity that when we say yes, that we actually mean yes. When we say no, we actually mean no. That we have such integrity of lifestyle that people can count on our words being true. That's one facet of Christianity, really, that the early opponents of Christianity found fascinating. You know, when the Roman government is beginning to crack down on Christians and beginning to persecute Christians heavily, the enemies of Christianity, this is one of their charges against them, was these were honest people. They couldn't get over the fact that Christians didn't lie. That's God's expectation. And I don't want there to be any mistake about it this morning. God does not wink at this one and say, well, since everybody's doing it, I guess it's okay. This commandment to not murder, to not bear false witness, is right up there with do not murder. God cares about what comes out of our mouths. He cares that we become truthful people. So this morning we want to explore this sin of lying so that we understand all that it entails and to find a way that we can live out this commandment in a positive way in every area of our lives.
So when Pastor Patty says we want to explore this sin of lying, it doesn't mean that we're going to spend the day lying to each other. Right? So let's take a look at our outlines here. Number one, types of lies. I suppose there are many types of lies. Half-truths, white lies, bold-faced lies. And we have kind of made lying an art form in our society. But we want to begin by looking at who the lie is against. Because in Exodus 20, verse 16, it says, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." The question was asked to Jesus in the New Testament, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And so, when we talk about types of lying, I want to talk about who we are lying to or lying about. We want to talk about the neighbor part of that. So number one, types of lying, letter A, lying about others. Lying about others. It's wrong to tell lies about other people. I shouldn't have to say any more, but let me just say a little bit more. The old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Huh? You've heard that? That's not true. That is a lie. Words do hurt. In fact, words can be deadly. Listen to what it says in Proverbs. Proverbs, I'm just going to read you a couple of them. Proverbs 6:19, a false testimony who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause, or use your lips to deceive. And like a club, or a sword, or a sharp arrow, is the man who gives false testimony against his neighbor. In five different places I've just shared with you, from Proverbs 6 to Proverbs 25, how harmful our words can be when we share lies about other people. Therefore, these verses tell us that we need to be truthful in what we say about others. We are to guard our words, not giving a false information or false impression about other people. Now, in the church, I think some of us have learned to say, I need to make sure I don't tell bold-faced lies about others. And so we sometimes wrap our lying up in gossip, I was joking, prayer request, and absolutes. Oh, they're always late. Are they always? Are they never? We sometimes wrap those lies up as we lie about other people. You know, a malicious lie, idle gossip, a half-truth, insincere flattery, remaining silent, even a raised eyebrow or a shrugged shoulder can bear false witness, bringing hurt and destroying another person. The Bible calls all of that lying about others.
But not only is there lying about others, when we're looking at types of lying, there's also lying to others. So maybe you're not lying about a person, but to a person about just about anything. And these lies fall into several different categories. So we're going to look at the categories of lying to others. One kind of lie is a destructive lie. This is a lie that's born out of malicious intent. Someone who deliberately suggests erroneous information in order to harm another person, or maybe to put a roadblock in their way. Maybe a biblical example of this would be, remember in the Old Testament when Joseph is working in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife keeps seducing him and wanting him to lie with her, and he refuses and runs away, leaving his coat. And so she takes his coat to Potiphar and says, look, this man tried to rape me, and he gets put in prison. That's that malicious, destructive kind of lie, trying to hurt another person. Now, I would say that probably none of us would be guilty of any of these kinds of lies. You know, lies like telling someone the wrong time or the wrong date for a meeting so that they don't show up and they get in trouble. You know, that's maybe one of the things you always wanted to do when you're working a job, but you would never do because that kind of crosses the line to that destructive kind of lie. You know, maybe when someone stops you and asks for directions, none of you would give them all the wrong directions so you'd get them lost and get them in the worst part of town, would you? Those are destructive kinds of lies. In Psalm 28:3 and Psalm 73:8, it speaks of the person with malice in their heart, how their lies are born out of hatred. It says this, do not drag me away with the wicked and those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors but harbor malice in their hearts. 73:8 says they scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. These are people who have hatred within them and want to hurt, their intent is to hurt other people. They want to destroy a person physically or to destroy them emotionally. Those are known as destructive lies that are told to other people.
Under this, number two, defensive lies. This is when we lie to protect ourselves. In Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19, like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. We lie to protect ourselves. And the good biblical example of that is Peter in the New Testament. You remember Peter said that he would never leave Jesus' side, that he would fight with him, that if Jesus was going to die, Peter was going to go and die with him. Jesus is arrested at night and taken away, and Peter warms his hand by the fire, and as he's warming his hand there, a little servant girl says, aren't you one of the disciples? Aren't you a follower of Jesus? Aren't you part of his team? And you know, to those accusations, Peter said, no. I don't know the man. Never known him, never seen him before in my life. You know what Peter did? He lied. Bold-faced lying. Not once, but three times. You see, Peter feels as if he is being threatened, or he's afraid, or something is happening that he's being accused of, and he lies to defend himself, to protect himself. Now, no doubt, almost all of us have found ourselves in such a situation when what we could say to another person would lessen the consequences of maybe what was to follow. Have you ever had that happen? Maybe when you were little and your mom or dad said, did you do that? And you look at him straight face, no, it was my brother. You lied to protect yourself. The Bible tells us that's sin. When we lie to someone, even though he says, oh, but it's for my greater good, that is still a lie. We must learn to be truthful in what we say to other people. And even if it means you getting in trouble, we're to tell the truth and not lie. So let me just ask you an example about this one.
You'll see if I tell the truth.
How does my hair look today? Does my butt look fat in these pants? Do not lie. Do not lie. Be truthful. Because a lie is a lie. And even though you're saying I'm doing it to protect myself, tell the truth.
Let me just add to that that you are not obligated to answer every question. Sometimes better just to stay quiet. This next category of lies is just a little different. Defective lies. These are lies of carelessness or boastfulness or sometimes lies of silence. These are the kinds of lies that may not even be intentional lies. Maybe they're just a bad habit. For instance, gossip. If you're passing on unsavory information, and maybe it's because you don't particularly like someone, so you go ahead and pass something on, not even realizing that what the information you received, though you'd like it to be true, isn't really true. You know what I mean? We just pass things on. You know, maybe one of the ways that this happens is somewhat unintentional are all those forwards. You know, all those forwards that are actually, you know, someone's missing, and if you don't do something right away, if you don't pass this on to 16 people within 5 minutes, the person's probably not going to make it. Or you have all these. Do you know that most of those, we call them hoaxes, but what they really are lies. They are either things that people have made up. And I had a man who kept forwarding me every one of these things that goes around on the internet. And I'd probably get 10 forwards a day. And I would look them up on Snopes.com or one of those places. And I would then send him, I'd write back and say, no, this is a hoax. You can read about it here. This is what it, you know, this is the truth. And after doing this, you know, sending him about 20 or 30 of these that I had looked up, I finally said to him, you know, if you would just check it out first to see if it was true, then you wouldn't be contributing to this massive email, you know, that goes around. And he said, well, he wrote back, he said, well, why should I look it up when you'll do it? I thought, you know, we really should be careful that what we pass on, even in things like, you know, what we pass on is true. Or otherwise, we are perpetuating the lie. And that's important. It's something we don't realize that we're doing. It's a defective lie. You know, it's not quite a full-blown lie, but it is being dishonest. Sometimes poor self-esteem might cause someone to exaggerate their accomplishments and try to look better than what they really are. That's a form of lying. James 4:16, James says, as it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. It's wrong to be just trying to make ourselves look better than we are. People may grumble and complain and make others look worse than they are, right? So not only do they try to make themselves look better than they are, but because they have self-esteem, they want to just bring everybody else down to their level and make people appear worse than they really are. Sometimes people will flatter other people to gather confidence, and what they're saying is not exactly true. Jude 16 says this, these men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. These are defective lies. And I believe that God categorizes this with every other kind of lying. If it's not honest, if it's not completely true, then we have no business saying it. It's not the kind of lifestyle that God wants for us. It is part of lying.
Which takes us to number four in your thing, deceitful lies. Now you would say, well, all lies are deceitful. And I'd say, yes, they are. But when we talk about deceitful lies, we're talking about something called half-truths. A half-truth is not true and it's not false. You see, a deceitful lie or a half-truth is something that is technically true. A technically true statement, however, it's one that gives a false impression. Let me give you an example. Someone says, well, how big is your church, Pastor? And I say, oh, we have under 1,000 each week. That's a true statement, isn't it? But what's the impression that it's giving? That we run just under 1,000 every week. Now, it is a true statement that we have less than 1,000 each week. Isn't that right? But the impression that it's giving, it's a deceitful lie. It's a half-truth. Because while the statement itself is technically true, the impression I'm trying to give is completely false. That's a deceitful lie. It's the kind of thing that allows us to try to be technically correct, but at the same time, coloring things to my own advantage. This is what I believe Jesus was talking about when he talks about that passage that I believe it's in your outline in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Jesus is telling us when we are using half-truths, when we are trying to be technically correct so that we can be shade something for our advantage, Jesus calls that a sin. And it is indeed a lie. If you want to see a wonderful example of this number four principle, watch the presidential debates. So I went online and I was watching, and I went on to the one that says, who told the most lies during the debate? Have you seen that on the website? And what they do is they take a look at everyone's statement and try to see how truthful was the statement. And just about every time when they talk about both candidates and looking at are they being truthful, almost everything fell under this category. Technically, he said this. But they used it in such an impression to make the other person look like a liar. And almost every one of them, they were technically correct, but trying to give a different impression. I found it very interesting. The Bible says that's a lie. And that means it's sinful and it's wrong.
So when we look at the types of lying, we have lying about others, lying to others, and next we have lying for others, lying for others. This is when we're trying to please someone or appease someone else, and so we wind up lying for them. I want you to think of this scenario. The phone rings, and as soon as it rings, and as soon as you know who it is, or they can hear the talking on the other end of the line, your spouse says, oh, tell them I'm not here, right? Or you know that it's somebody calling about, you know, you can see it when you pick up the phone, you know, who it's from, and he says, oh, tell them the check's in the mail. You know the check's not in the mail. And you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. Either you please this person and do what they said, but to do so means that you're lying. Or maybe at work you're working on a project and the customer asks when it's going to be done. And your boss expects you to lie to keep the customer happy and to protect the company. Or maybe it's telling someone what you think they want to hear so they won't be upset or won't have their feelings hurt. Pastor Dan just mentioned a little bit, you know, does this make me look fat? You know, sometimes you just need to change the subject. Oh, I love the color of that. You know, some of you can really get away with this, you know, because you're older. You can just act absent-minded even if you aren't. And younger people, we can do this too. They say, do you like my new haircut? Oh, well, you know, I got my hair cut once. You can just start talking about anything. You do not have to answer a question just to make someone feel better. Maybe you excuse this kind of lying because you're just doing what you're told, or you're trying to protect someone's, maybe a company or someone's reputation, or you're trying not to hurt someone's feelings. But saying something that's not true is a lie. No matter what kind of rationale you give it, it is still a lie, even if our motivation is good. Lying for others is just as much a lie as lying to others or lying about others.
Letter D, lying about myself. This is a big one when we lie about myself. Listen to this. There's a pastor, Pastor Fosdick, from Riverside Church in New York. He pastored during the 1930s to the 1940s. In one of his sermons that has been written down and on file is a sermon entitled, On Seeming as Christian as You Are. And in this, the pastor writes these words. You get it from two sides. Some people are hypocrites because they profess a Christian faith that they are not living. Others are hypocrites because deep within themselves they have a genuine Christianity that they are not showing. Some hypocrites need to be told, be as good as you seem. Other hypocrites need to be told, seem as good as you are. He says, a hypocrite is someone who is pretending to be something they are not. And he says he has noticed within the church that there are some people that are pretending to be better Christians than what they actually are inside. And he says also within their church there's a lot of people who are pretending to be worse Christians than what they really are. You see, when we pretend to be something we're not, that is lying about ourselves. And so being a hypocrite in the way of thinking, wanting people to think better of us than we are, is lying. We shouldn't do that. However, it's just a big lie to give people the impression that we are not as well off as we are. I hear this a lot in the church. They say, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I'm no good at that. No, you should ask someone else. Oh, I really have no skills in those areas. Sometimes we call it false humility, but the pastor that wrote this back in the 1930s and 40s says it's basically hypocrisy because it's portraying yourself as something you're not. If you are competent and you are able and you have the abilities, by pretending you don't, you are lying. And it's usually we think of hypocrisy in the other direction. He says it happens in both directions. Because we lie about ourselves. Whether we think more of ourselves or less of ourselves, to portray ourselves as anything but factual and truthful is a lie. And that's harmful to others and to us.
So there's a lying about myself, but there's also a lying to myself. Whenever we try to transfer responsibility for our conduct to others, or we simply blame our action on circumstances, we begin to lie to ourselves. And you know, it's amazing. I think of all the sins or all the lying that we are involved in, lying to ourselves is probably the most prevalent. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Sometimes our own hearts are lying and are deceiving us so that we think we're doing what's right or we rationalize something and we think we're okay when we're not. Scripture talks about this all the time, how we deceive ourselves into thinking we're okay when we're not. Let me just read you some verses. Galatians 6:3. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James 1:26. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. 1 John 1:6. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and don't live by the truth. 1 John 2:4. The man who says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You see how we deceive ourselves into thinking we're something we're not? We rationalize and somehow we become deluded. Well, I think sometimes we actually want to be deluded because we want that false sense of security. We don't want to have to feel guilty. So we rationalize and we tell ourselves something over and over and over again till we actually believe that it is true. And I think that perhaps this is the most dangerous kind of lie of all because it's so hard to recognize in ourselves because we rationalize. Remember King David, man after God's own heart, someone who just loved the Lord with all his heart and served God with righteousness? Yet he sinned, didn't he? Committed a sin against the Lord by having intercourse with Bathsheba. Bathsheba's husband comes home and David brings him home from battle to try to cover up the lie and the sin that he's committed, and then winds up sending him back along with a letter to the commander of the army saying, well, you know, when he's out there fighting at the front lines, well, just pull back some so that he gets killed. And David's comment was this. He said, well, the sword devours one as well as the others. But he says, well, people die in battle all the time, so what's the big deal? Once you begin to rationalize, you begin to deceive yourself, and you think what you're doing is okay, but all through Scripture it says, no, it makes us a liar. We are lying to ourselves, and that's probably the hardest one to detect by ourselves at all. Sometimes we need someone else, like David needed Nathan the prophet, to come and point it out to him, but we need to be careful that we are not lying to ourselves.
So we see that this passage says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. We spent some time here talking about who we are lying against. Let's take a little shift here and talk about truth. Number two, truth as the way of life. God is very serious about this ninth statement because God is a God of truth. The Bible tells us that His Word is truth. And God expects truth to permeate every area of our life. In Jesus, we are children of God. Our Father is truth. Satan, the Bible says, is a liar and a father of lies. And so we need to remember whose offspring we are. If we claim to be Christians, then our Father is the Father of truth. Therefore, we should not be living as if our Father was the Father of lies. Did you catch that? So, a life or a way of truth is very important. So let's take a look at letter A, who we are. In Jesus, we are children of God. And so we need to act like it. Number one, sincerity. God expects us to be truthful with who we are. In this truthfulness, we need to recognize who we are, and we need to recognize that also before God and before men. There needs to be a sincerity in us, a truthfulness. In Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, Jesus tells them about two men. This is what it says. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like all other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I have. Verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus concludes in verse 14 by saying, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What I want us to notice is the sincerity that takes place. Both of these men told the truth about themselves to God and before men. Isn't that right? Now, the one guy was full of himself, wasn't he? But he articulated it well. He was sincere. God, I'm better than everyone else. You know, he's comparing himself to others. That's always a problem. But he was sincere. He said, God, let me tell you who I see myself as. And he was sure, clear to let that be known even in public before men. The sincerity of being honest with yourself, who you are, before God and before men. Now, the tax collector was a little different, but he was still just as sincere. He said, God, I am no good. I'm not good enough to be in your presence. He's comparing himself to God, not to men. But he's still being sincere. He's saying, this is how I see myself. And he was honest to declare that before God and before men. Who we are. We need to be people of truth and learn to be honest with who we are before God and before men.
So who we are involves sincerity, but it also involves humility. This same passage that Pastor Dan talked about, it talks about humbling ourselves. A Pharisee is a prime example of the opposite of humility. Excuse me. It's someone who is lying to himself, thinking that he's better than he really is. Humility is honesty in how we see ourselves. Well, we acknowledge our strengths, but we also see very clearly our weaknesses. See, we live a life knowing who we are and totally dependent on God. That's what it means to have humility. When we're not trying to protect ourselves, when we're not trying to protect our reputations, we're not trying to make ourselves look better than we really are, then we're able to keep ourselves from lying and keep ourselves from living a lie. We accept who we are, and we don't feel like we need to justify who we are to other people. That's humility.
Number three is integrity. And this is simply being honest with yourself, even when no one else is around. It's who you are when nobody's looking. And it's learning to be who you are, both in public and in private, being who you are in pleasure and under pressure, being who you are when you have plenty and when you are in poverty. The circumstances and the position and who's around you, it doesn't matter. Integrity says, I let my yes be yes and my no's no, and I am who I am in every situation the same.
So this living truth as a way of life, it has to do with who we are, but it also has to do with what we do. To be a truthful person means we have to be something, but we also have to do something. And the first thing we need to do is to learn the truth. In order to be truthful, we need to know what the truth is. And this goes far beyond just checking the accuracy of words before you pass them on. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. He identifies God's word as the truth. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if I were to say then that we need to learn the truth, if God's word is truth and Jesus himself is truth, then that means we need to know God's word and we need to know Jesus personally in order to be living out truth as a way of life. What we do, we need to learn the truth first. This is what it means to live out God's truth in our daily lives. Because when Christ comes into our hearts, he enables us to live authentic Christian lives, lives that are centered on the truth. God's word teaches us what is true. God's Son enables us to live it out. So when we are immersed in Jesus, when we're immersed in God's word, that will teach us to be honest in all things. It will reprove us when we tell a lie. It will move us toward being the people that God wants us to be and doing the things that God wants us to do.
What we do, we learn the truth, and then we need to love the truth. As children of God, we need to love the truth. Of course, this starts with God and with God's word. Psalm 119:47-48 says, for I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. We are to love the truth. That means to love God with all of our hearts and to love his word. But it has to go beyond that. We have to be people of truth. Certainly that truth has its anchor and its roots in the word of God and who God is. But we want truthfulness in every area of our life, not just in biblical things. In 1 Corinthians 13:6, it says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. We want to see truth in every area of our lives. We want to rejoice in what is true, in what is accurate, and what is correct. We want to be people of truth. We don't want false advertising or false politicians or false anything. We want truth. We want to get to the bottom of things. And that is all measured against God's words. You see, we don't want to live our lives entangled with the lies, but we want clean, clear, direct, and honest truths. I couldn't help but thinking about Joe Friday. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. We don't want it entangled in everything else. We need to love what is true.
So what do we need to do? We need to learn the truth, to know what it is, to love the truth. And lastly, we need to live the truth. This is God's expectation for every one of us. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, God expects us to be holy. He has an expectation of us that we actually live it out, and He makes it possible for us to do so. 1 Peter 2:1 says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." 1 Peter 3:10, quoting from the Old Testament, he says, "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech." You see, what comes out of our mouths, Jesus said, is an indication, it is an overflow of what is in our hearts. If Christ resides in us, then there is no room in our hearts for impurity that manifests itself in lies and deceitful speech. You see, God's word isn't intended to just give us some ideal. You know, it'd be nice if we could live that way, but, you know, everybody lies. This is what God expects. And this is, I think, what we need to remember, and you should write this down. What God commands us to do, He empowers us to do. If God tells us that He doesn't want deceit coming from our mouth, if He doesn't want lies and He detests that and He doesn't want it in His people, if He commands us to do this, He will enable us to do this. He will make it possible that we don't have to lie on impulse. He expects us to live the truth of His word, and He will enable us to do it. God expects truth to permeate every single facet of our lives.
We've told you that these Ten Commandments have a simple purpose: to declare God's expectations, to reveal our shortcomings, to protect our relationships, and to enrich our lives. So when we talk about the idea of being truthful and lying, I need to ask you this morning, how are you doing? You see, a lie will always trip us up. A lie will always lead to destruction. A lie will always destroy. And that's why we have this statement that says we need to be people of truth. There's a little saying that I don't ever get right, but it has something to do with spiders and spider webs and being entangled. Are you familiar with that one? Well, the Bible puts it this way. It says, put on the belt of truth. It says, if you're going to try to run and you don't have the right underwear on, is what it's saying, you're going to fall down. Okay? You're going to get entangled in it. And of course, some of you are looking at me, what's he talking about? Let me put it in, everything I do, I try to do in second grade English. You ready for this? Don't walk around with your shoes untied. And that's what it means to be a person that's not truthful. You may not trip every time, but you will. And so this statement says that we need to be a people that is not engaged in this type of behavior on any level, because you're going to fall flat in your face. He says, always share the truth in love. So, whether you like the spider web thing, or the underwear thing, or the shoe tying thing, knock off the lies and live truth. Because if you don't, you'll be entangled, and you'll be on your face. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we'd ask that You would now help us to live out the truth we have heard. As Pastor Patty has told us, that which You command, You empower us to do. And so, Father, I pray that You'll help us to guard our tongues, to be truthful, Lord, towards ourselves and towards others and about everything. Father, help us to get rid of the things that will entangle us and cause us to fall. Father, help us to begin that practice right now, today. And we would ask this in Christ's name.